Well, I have to make a confession to you. Is that all right? You're not sure, are you? Yeah, you can do that in church, Pastor says. I confess that you guys are treating us better than I deserve. I tell you what, we felt right at home from the first time we got in. They put us in that hotel. Sister Dana, she got us in the O'Sullivan Suite over there at the La Quinta Hotel. And I mean, we're up on the third floor with a suite, and I tell you what, nice swimming pool and treating us right. And your pastor and his wife, they've been carrying us around like we are royalty and treating us better than we deserve. I got the privilege to slip over to the Dublin Mall today, and I'm going to go home looking better than I came. I got a brand new suit today from Peacock Men's Warehouse, and I tell you what, you guys are treating me better than I deserve. Now, my wife might deserve it, but I don't. I tell you, I can see why your pastor came back for a second helping. That's not normal. You know, if some dessert's good, you go back for a second. And I can see why he came back for seconds, a second time around to serve at this beautiful church with you lovely people. And it's just been our privilege to be here and share with you this weekend and this week and just see what God's been doing. And I tell you what, I just believe that God sits on the throne, amen? That He treats us better than we deserve. Because you know what? I don't deserve the grace that He has given me. You and I, we don't deserve His love and His grace and His mercy, but He is a God of grace who is able to do immeasurably more, amen? Got your Bible with you quickly this evening. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms of the 138th chapter. I want to begin there at verse 1. There's only 8 verses of that 138th psalm, so I just want to read them to you quickly this evening. Share with you from this great book of Psalms. It's a psalm of David. I praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name, your love, and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, guess what? He answered. You answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Amen? Though the Lord is on high, He looks upon the lowly, but the proud He knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You preserve my life. I can say amen to that. Walked in the midst of trouble, but He has preserved my life. How about you? Amen? Amen. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. I want you to repeat that with me this evening. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Now say it again like you mean it. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Amen? You believe God has a purpose for your life? You believe God has a plan for your life? You believe that God has a vision and an insight and a plan and purpose for your life? Well, I'm here to tell you that I believe with everything that I have and everything that I am that God has a purpose for me. I not only believe that God has a purpose for me, I believe that He's got a purpose for you. You can look back through the pages of God's Word and you'll find that Noah, at the age of 500, God called him to build an ark. Others laughed, but Noah knew that God had a purpose and a plan for his life. Abram left everything, his family, his friends, everything to follow the purpose and vision and plan of God. Joseph, his family persecuted him. He found himself in the dark prison, but he knew that God had a purpose. He had a dream. He was following the purpose and plan of God. Moses left the wealth of Egypt to follow the purpose of God. David faced the giant because of the purpose of God in his life. Daniel slept with a lion. Stephen died a martyr's death. Paul endured beatings, persecution, shipwreck, all because of a calling and a purpose in life. I had some Mormon boys come to my house, knocked on my door, some Mormon missionaries. They didn't know I was a pastor. So I invited them in. I spent several weeks talking with those boys, visiting back and forth, sharing with them. And we talked back and forth. I did a lot of studying during those weeks and studied a lot about Mormonism and those things. And one of the things that I noticed was that during those years, Joseph Smith supposedly had this revelation. He found these magic glasses that he could read golden notes and transcribe a New Testament of Jesus Christ, another Testament of Jesus Christ. There were some disciples, some followers of his. You know what I found out as I studied? The vast majority of those, 10 out of the 12, of the total 12, ended up recanting and rejecting the teachings of Joseph Smith. Only two left, Joseph Smith and one of his brothers or one of his cousins. Just a few of that stuck with it. Why? Because there was probably some profit to be made in it. But you know what we find about the disciples of Jesus Christ? All of them were willing to die for what they believed in. Why? Because there was a purpose, a calling, a plan of their life. Can I tell you something? People who are tired before their time, people who are lagging in life, people who spend all of their time complaining about their circumstances, who are plagued with pettiness, groaning rather than growing, these people who are people who have no purpose and no mission, no vision in their world. Let me say it again. People who are tired before their time, who are lagging in life, who complain about their circumstances, who are plagued with pettiness, who groan rather than grow, these are people who lack purpose, vision, and mission in their life. I believe that God has a purpose for Darren Pound. I believe that God has a purpose for each and every one of us here this evening. It doesn't matter if you're 16 or 60 or somewhere in between. Moses. Let's get back to where I'm going. Noah. I get so excited I get lost. Need a GPS for my own sermon notes. Noah was 500 years old. Don't talk to me about you're too old. Don't talk to me about the fact that you're retired. Don't talk to me about the fact that you're too young. Mary, they speculate, was about 16. David was just a young teenage boy. He stood up to face the giant when none of the soldiers would. They all quaked in fear. God has a purpose and a plan for our life. Doesn't matter if you're 6 or 60 or somewhere in between or over the hill or under the hill. It doesn't really matter. God's got a purpose. You believe it? Say amen. There's a couple of things that I just want to share with you quickly about purpose. Verse 8 of Psalms 138 says, "The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me." You believe it? Say amen. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, it says, "Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose." It is the Lord's purpose that prevails. There's three things I want to share with you quickly about purpose. Number one, purpose comes from God. It doesn't come from within. Purpose is not something that we would ever do in and of our own selves. You don't wake up one morning and say, "Hey, I want to devote my life to serving other people. I want to devote everything that I have and everything that I am to the kingdom, to the church," because that sounds neat. That sounds like a great idea to spend the rest of my life serving other people. No, purpose usually cuts across the grain of everything that you would do in and of yourself. Take tithing, for example. Tithing is a ludicrous idea to the people of the world. To give to the church, to give 10% of your income to the church, absolutely makes no sense. It doesn't add up, doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense until God lays that purpose on your heart and you know that it's what He wants you to do. If you know it's what He's called you to be a part of, if you know that He has called you to give to the mission of the church, or the building of the kingdom of God. Purpose. It's not something that I would ever do in and of myself. It's something that God has to do in us and through us. When we accept His Word by faith and do it because He says so, are willing to accept and step out on faith because perhaps God will act in our behalf, until we begin to know and understand that God has a purpose, we will lag behind in this world and life in which we live. First of all, purpose comes from God. Number two, purpose is bigger than you and I. True purpose is something that you could never do by yourself. Listen to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, one of my favorite verses of the Bible. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask, think, or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." You know what that verse says? It says, God is able to do immeasurably more than I could ask, think, and one translation says, even dare to imagine. I don't know about you, but I got a wild imagination. Ask my wife. I can dream up some crazy things. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God is able to do more than I can even imagine. The sky is not the limit. God is able to do immeasurably more. You know what that word immeasurably means? It means more than you can measure. More than you can map out. More than you can draw a tape ruler to. More than you can add up. More than you can count. God is able to do immeasurably more than you can ask, think, or even dare to imagine. We find that true purpose is bigger than us. Something that we can never do in and of ourselves. Sometimes we come to a situation or circumstance and we say, you know what, I could never do that. If you ever find yourself in a situation or circumstance, you find yourself saying, great, I could never do that, great. Because you're probably on the edge of discovering your purpose. You see, if I can handle it, then I don't need God. If I can do it by myself, then I don't need Him. And it's probably not my purpose. Because true purpose is bigger than you and I. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than my family. It's bigger than my church. It's bigger than all of us combined. True purpose is something that only God can do in and through us. If you and I can do it, we're probably not reaching our full potential. We're probably not reaching His full potential in our lives because true purpose is bigger than you and I. About 6 years ago, our church there in Redland pastored there 11 and a half years. It'd be 12 years if I'd stayed all the way through August. But about 6 years ago, our church was broke. Now, don't misunderstand me. We didn't write any hot checks. We didn't leave any electric bills unpaid. The pastor didn't go without too many meals. You can tell that. I'm right-handed, and when I injured my right arm, I had to learn to eat left-handed or starve. You just figured out what I did, didn't you? I learned to eat left-handed real quick. But 6 years ago, we were struggling. Our treasurer came to us and said, we've got to set up a fund where we can build up some cash reserves. We said, okay, how much can we afford? He said $100 a month. $25 a week was our reserves. Now we were doing some things. We had quite a few things going, and God was providing. Don't misunderstand me. We weren't broke. We weren't going under. God was providing us, and faithfully, week after week, God was taking care of all of our needs. But we were broke. But we made a commitment at that point in time that whatever God gave us, we were going to use it to build His kingdom. Not my kingdom, not our kingdom, not the Redland Church of the Nazarene kingdom, but the kingdom of God. That we would seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And that was the birth of one of our little mission organizations that we started within our own local church entitled Kingdom First Missions. It's what we decided. We dreamed of the day that we would take an amount equal to our World Evangelism Fund. We used to send that World Evangelism Fund to Kansas City, to the district for our annual budgets every year. And we dreamed of the day that we would take an amount equal to our World Evangelism Fund and spend that amount of money on extracurricular missions. Whatever mission projects we came up with, whatever mission projects came aware, if a missionary came by and shared something with us, we would have that to be able to spend that on extracurricular mission projects. That was our dream. I want you to fast forward to the year 2008 for a moment. In the past 6 years, God has enabled us, a little church, Redland Church of Nazarene, 230 people in average attendance this past year. He's enabled us to ship 7 container loads of supplies. Talking about 20 and 40 foot containers of supplies to Central America. 4 vehicles, 2 buses, 4 vans, 26 motorcycles. Last year, about this time, we raised the money and bought and purchased a container load of 20 brand new dirt bikes to ship to Belize, Central America for pastors to use in Belize so they could start churches. We sponsor 3 volunteer missionaries. We built and sponsor Kingdom First Advance. It's a 34-acre campground and training center right there in the heart of Belize, Central America. We sponsor Kingdom First Academy. It's an internet high school. Students in Belize don't normally go to high school, can't afford to go to high school. We've set up a Christian internet high school where young people can be discipled and trained to build the kingdom of God. We have a little program called Gospel Power and Light. It's an alternative energy program. We put solar electricity into 8 churches and 3 parsonages. Can you imagine what it's like to turn on the lights for the first time in a little church in the middle of nowhere on a Sunday night? It's awesome. We've distributed approximately 3,000 Bibles locally and abroad. We've just begun here recently planning and vision stages for Kingdom First Aviation. Currently, we've got about 20 to 25 guys in our little church of 230 that have pilot's licenses or an active interest in piloting. But the most exciting things of all these things that have happened revolves around 3 areas. We've held evangelistic rallies there in Belize and beyond where thousands of people have attended. Our largest rally that we ever did, we did a couple of years ago at our training center. We had over 2,000 people show up for an evangelistic rally. We've held 17 pastors training courses. We're currently training 34 pastors for discipleship and to start churches. And in the past 6 years, we've seen over 25 brand new churches started in the country of Belize. I know the first thought that may come to your mind is, well, you've got some wealthy people at your church, but that's not it. It's Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask, think, or imagine. Amen? A few years ago, we took our World Evangelism Fund. You know, I told you we had that dream to use an equal amount for extracurricular missions. In 1 year, we did 10 times that amount, and that was several years ago. Last year, we spent in extracurricular missions 50% of everything we raised last year. I'm not talking about our local expenses. I'm not talking about our pastor's salaries. I'm not talking about our buildings. And last couple of years ago, we put up $500,000 building that's paid for. I'm talking about a God that is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask, think, or imagine. Amen? We look back. We hadn't done it. Our treasurer began to pull up the figures. And last year, about this time, and so you have to understand that a year has added to that, and I don't have the most recent figures with me, but last year, about this time, this was prior to the motorcycles and prior to all this year's expenses, but in the last 5 years prior, as I guess it was, we sent above and beyond our local expenses $896,000 to the mission field. They're a church of 230 people, and I have to tell you that over half of that has been just through regular folk. There have been some large donors that have given some significant amounts, but the vast majority of that has just been regular folk given to the kingdom of God, because God is able, amen, to do immeasurably more than we could ask, think, or imagine. We've dreamed up, and God's laid on my wife and I's heart, our family's heart, to go down to Belize. God has given us a vision and a purpose to see a total of 100 churches in the country of Belize. So we've only got 75 more to go. When we get done with that, God has laid upon our heart a vision to expand that to the Caribbean nations of Jamaica and the Bahamas. And I have a dream that God has laid upon our heart, a blazing, burning vision to see a total of 1,000 churches planted throughout the Caribbean in the next few years. And you know what? My Bible says that God is able to do immeasurably more than I can ask, think, or imagine. That's just a drop in the bucket according to His power, His ability, His enablement. And if God is able, then I have to believe, because His purpose is bigger than I am. I'm not going to be able to do it. You know what? I've come to the conclusion I don't like to be involved in things that are small. I don't like to be involved in things that Darren Pound can do, because when it gets done, people can look at me and they can pat me on the back and say, "Wow, good job, Brother Pound. You did a good job." But I want to be involved in things that are so big that somebody has to look at me and say, "Wow, that idiot couldn't have done that." That guy's not capable. God had to be on the scene. God had to be involved in that. And that is the complete, total picture of what God has done through our church in the last 4.5 years. God is able. Say that with me. God is able. Say it again. God is able. Do you believe that? Amen. Last but not least, His purpose goes beyond us. Purpose goes beyond us. His purpose to help others and glorify God. God's purpose for us is not to make us feel good, not to build ourselves up, not to store up resources for ourselves. His purpose, our purpose, must reach outside of the walls of our own life, beyond the walls of our family, beyond the walls even of our own church and our own community. You see, true purpose ministers to others. True purpose glorifies God. True purpose builds others up. And last but not least, true purpose builds God's kingdom. You know what I believe? I believe that God has a purpose for you and I. I've got one other story to share with you about this purpose. I love when God does these types of things because it just confirms for me His purpose and His plan and His working out of all the details in my life. One of the problems that we face in going to Central America is a good, solid, sturdy vehicle to get us there. We're going to ship it and get it there. And one of the details that you would have to know about is that an SUV or a car, they charge 65% import duty. If you bring a vehicle in, whatever the value of that vehicle is, you just tack on another 65%, and that's what you're going to have to pay to get it in the country. That's the way they make their money. There's no property taxes, no income tax, but they import things and pay for it that way. And so a pickup truck is half of that or considerably less, about 30-some percent. And so we've been looking for a diesel crew cab. Diesel still is cheaper in Belize. They don't have all the EPA requirements down there, and so it's still cheaper. And so we've been looking for a diesel crew cab to take to Belize. Had a friend of mine there in Homestead who's a used car dealer, and he's been looking at some of the auctions and looking all over the place. And I was sharing with Pastor Wise when we came here. He was asking about our trip to Belize and what we're going to be doing down there. We're going to be helping to plant churches, and we're being asking some churches here locally in the United States to help us sponsor brand new churches there in Belize. And we've got some churches that are helping us to do that. I've got a little church of 50 in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, that are going to raise $25,000. We've come up with a plan that $25,000 over a 3-year period will start a church from start to finish. It'll train a pastor, it'll provide him with transportation, it'll provide musical equipment, even build a 30 by 50 concrete and steel building. And so over a 3-year period, we've been working with that. And I've got a church of 50 in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, that have committed to help plant a church in Belize. They've already sent the first installment to help us get going, and they've already been down there, and they're excited about it. And so we've been working towards some of those things, and I was sharing this with Pastor Wise, and he said, you know what, you ought to talk to Brother Clinton Ellison. They might have a truck over there. He said, look online. You can look at their inventory. I looked online, and I saw their inventory. I saw what they had for used vehicles, and they didn't have any used diesel crew cabs. Monday night after the revival service, I went up to Brother Ellison. I asked him, I said, hey, I felt impressed. I didn't want to ask him. I already knew the answer. I'd looked online. They didn't have any diesel crew cabs. But the Lord kept saying, Darren, ask him. So I went up to Brother Ellison and I asked him. I said, Brother Ellison, you ever get any diesel crew cabs over there at your dealership you work at? He said, well, Brother Pound, I just traded for one today. Why don't you come over and look at it? I went over the next day, looked at it. I said, well, you tell me what they'll take for it, what it's going to be worth, and we'll see what we can do. He came to me last night and he gave me an unbelievable price, a great price on that truck. And I said, Brother Ellison, I've prayed about it. He called me and I said, I prayed about it and thought about it, talked to my wife about it. And I said, I'm just going to have to look for a less of a truck because that's just still out of my price range. He said, well, Brother Pound, he said, let's pray about it. If you were here last night, we left by saying, perhaps the Lord will act in your behalf. Brother Ellison called me this morning. He said he spoke to David Lawrence, owner there at Lawrence Ford, worked out some deals, and he said, come pick up your truck. So if you walk out in the parking lot, there's a 2003 diesel crew cab Ford pickup out there that we're going to drive home in convoy tomorrow. Because God has a purpose. Amen? God has a plan. Amen? Told you we were working on some aviation dreams to begin to do some aviation ministry throughout the Caribbean. One of the things that I've been looking at, there's a little place in Moultrie, Georgia, I've always wanted to go to. They got a Mall Aircraft Air Plant out there. I'm going to stop by there. And I just believe in as good as things have been going around here this week, I might need your help flying something home. I tell you what, because God's got a plan, amen? God's got a purpose. He's got a purpose for you and I. And if we'll believe it, if we'll trust Him, He's able to do immeasurably more than we could ask, think, or imagine. I'm believing it. Do you believe it? Amen. 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 He's able. Do you know that chorus, Brother Don? He's able. He's able. He's able. You got that one? I'm springing it on him. I usually get here ahead of time and talk to him. Brother Don does an excellent job. He's so organized and has this thing. You've got a great team around here. You know that? Don't let them go. Don't let them run off. Hang on to them. You keep treating them like you've been treating me, I guarantee you they're not going anywhere. But I just believe that God is able to do immeasurably more. If you believe that, stand and sing with me this evening. He's able.